The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Dom. It's a hump day. It's an election hangover day. It's an opening day hangover day for Rich. He was partying his ass off, I bet. Welcome back, Rich. Hey, and also, yeah, welcome, Rich. For those poor, desperate souls that went to the Trump rally, God forbid, you know, I got to think you got some sort of a psychic hangover, if not ringing ears, because they played the damn music too loud at the Trump rallies. But Dom, welcome to the big show.
Hey, Crudy, good to see you. Thank you, Rich. Welcome back. Of course, our audience love it when you hang out with us at the political party. But Crudy, I don't know, man. I think, you know, the Trump faithful, you know, they went to their church last night. They went to their cult meeting last night, and they were probably fired up. I think they're just fine today.
You know, it's interesting. As the winners and losers, you know, the Page Six Dan Bice, I shared some of that in the first hour, and I did talk to a few of our own Democratic strategist sort of friends, guys like Joe Sopecki. And one keen observation Joe pointed out to me, he said, you know, while Trump was up there at the rally, they were having a little election in the Green Bay marketplace. And there was a very closely contested, or a number of closely contested races for school board. And those races came down to like 15 votes a seat.
Ooh.
And they all went against the MAGA candidates. And Joe said, what is the likelihood if Donald Trump rallied hundreds, thousands probably in Green Bay, that those people went to the bar, went out to dinner, didn't go vote, and actually Trump's presence in Green Bay probably was at the expense of that school board turning MAGA?
That would be hard to say, Michael. I would imagine, you know, statistically that most, and I have no evidence of this either way, but most of the folks that show up for rallies are probably ones that are going to vote. You go to a Biden rally, if you're that motivated to show up to see Joe Biden speak, you're probably going to vote. If you're motivated to, you know, schlep through the storm in Green Bay to go see the Orange Messiah speak, you're probably going to vote.
In a school board race?
Probably. Well, I mean, if you're voting, you're voting, right? I mean, lots of stuff's on the ballot.
You know, I see the headline at the Washington Post. Wisconsin primary spotlights voter abilities for both Trump and Biden. And I would point out, if we just went head-to-head vote total, Biden won last night. You win, sir. Biden got 110,450 votes in the state of Wisconsin. Trump, 475,000. He bled 120,000 Republican votes.
Say those numbers again. I'm sorry. That makes sense to me.
Biden got 510,000. Okay. Trump had 475,000. Gotcha. Biden beats Trump in Wisconsin by 35,000 votes. And that's with the uninstructed. That's what, 48,000 uninstructed. I mean, hell, nearly 15,000 Dane County voters voted uninstructed, liberal progressives that they are.
If I remember the numbers, I don't have it in front of me. Trump lost. I mean, Nikki Haley got what, like 12-13%, something along those lines.
He bled over 20% of the Republican vote in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah. Haley got
Biden
70.
10%.
He got Haley got 76,603 votes. 76,000. She dropped out.
She's not even in the race, right?
Uninstructed got 48,000 votes, less than 10%, about 8.5% uninstructed in the state of Wisconsin. Now, I would point out, and very liberal Dane County, about 14.5%. Uninstructed was the directive. 14,485, about a third of the entire uninstructed vote. Liberal Dane County, you know how it is, man. We've been here for a long time. So I think that those are very sophisticated voters, those that would go and vote uninstructed. Hell, Mark Pocan is quoted in this article at the Washington Post. Let me see if I can find Mark's quote here. Where is it? Mark. Rep. Mark Pocan, one of the first House Democrats to call for a ceasefire in Gaza, said he voted for Biden, but that he understood why many of his constituents did not. Here's Mark's quote. I certainly would not tell anyone they did anything wrong if they voted uninstructed, because it's an easy way to be heard on this issue. Concern about the war in Gaza was one of the top issues voters wanted to discuss with Pocan in four recent town halls he held in rural parts of his district, which include the heavily Democratic city of Madison, as well as more competitive rural counties. One quick quote from Mark. I've expressed this to the White House and to the campaign that this is something that people talk about. Well, certainly they do. And it's not getting any better. As we talked about with the death of some of these people trying to provide humanitarian aid, in my understanding, coordinating their movements with the IDF. So, you know, more outrage from the Middle East now. Now, I don't personally hold that all on the president. I don't know why he is responsible for Netanyahu's policy directly, why he's being held so directly responsible for this foreign policy of a differing nation. But anyways, if you want to do it in the primary, I've given everyone permission, right?
Thank you, Michael. It's very kind of you.
Well, I did. I'm just saying, you know, I think it's okay to protest in the primary. But I think these voters, many of them, will come home for Joe Biden. If the alternative is Donald Trump, and if you're civically engaged enough, paying enough attention that you care enough to go and vote uninstructed, to send a message to Joe Biden, if the alternative, if the binary choice is Biden or Trump, I'm feeling pretty good that they're voting
but
for Biden.
Michael, there may not be just a binary choice. There may be another choice, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We don't know what that's going to be, right? So I know what you're saying. If it's only a binary choice, perhaps those folks would. But what if there's another choice? What if there's a third party? What if, you know, 10% or 20% of that crew peels off and votes for someone like Kennedy? And hell, he might attract, he'll track for, if he gets on the ballot here in the state of Wisconsin, he'll take from both Biden and Trump, I would imagine.
Well, Dom, I don't know if you saw the fine reporting at CNN, but their sources, are smart people.
That's a rag. They still make stuff over at CNN? I mean, they've really gone downhill, Crudy, I got to tell you.
Fake news. Just because I am extensively quoted at a CNN piece, maybe we'll get to that in a bit. Let's set CNN aside. Let's get to our audience. We've got a few early innovators. Want to hear from you, your immediate reaction to yesterday's election. I just look at votes. Biden beat Trump by 35,000 votes. And, you know, you can take the disaffected Dems, the uninstructed, the 48,000, and you can take the Nikki Haley voters, and you can compare the raw vote totals between these two men. No competitive primaries on either side. Where's the enthusiasm gap? More people voted for Biden, 35,000 more. Trump led 120,000 Republican voters. That ain't a good night. You can say Biden? Biden had a pretty good night. He beat Trump's ass. 844-967-2789. Joe from Madison. First caller today. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. I wanted to respond to some of the conversation that you had with Earl in the last hour of the show. That interview just knocked it out of the ballpark. His usual thoughtful, interesting look at here are problems and they need to be looked at. He does not shy away. It was a very strong interview. And I would really encourage your producers on staff to push for if Biden's going to be coming into town. I know it's a Hail Mary, but I would love to hear a sit down with Earl and President
Earl?
Biden if there's ever
any. What about Crudy and President Biden? What about Dom and President? Sorry, I'm going to advocate for the devil's first, Joe. I'm sorry. He's had Kamala twice. He's had the vice president twice. Come on, we're two behind him.
I understand. I understand. But what he had to say about Milwaukee and the importance of the school referendum that went through, and I speak as somebody who believes that education is all, and it's one of the shining stars of our state, is that we had in the past a dynamite educational system from K all the way through a college. And boy, the chipping away of that has happened under the Republicans is so disheartening to me. So I wanted to just pitch that in there. And I just wanted to say, I cannot understand Dale Coingo, who is with this now, I believe it's called the MMAC, which is the Commerce Group out of Milwaukee. And I went back and I looked at their press statement as to, because I thought, why are they against this? I don't get it. And indeed, the superintendent of schools, Keith Posley in Milwaukee, said, I don't understand this either. I got a clip from him from Wispolitics where he said, I am more than happy to make myself available to support and talk with them, to walk them through the numbers. And nobody was apparently taking them up on it as to why this was, that they need the school referendum. And at the end of it, the Coingo is quoted as talking about why they was so important to them that they spent, as I understand it, $400,000 to defeat this referendum. Are you kidding me? I mean, why don't you put that into schools rather than going against schools? And at the end of it, he has this garbage line in there where Coingo says, no matter what, MMAC remains committed to partnering with Milwaukee Public Schools and all publicly funded school operators to ensure that every child receives a high quality education. I would say, why don't you take that $400,000 and work on getting a quality education rather than working on something? I understand that there's going to be an increase in taxes. That is part of the deal if you want to support education in your community.
Joe, appreciate your call. And couple of thoughts. Dr. Keith Posley, the superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools, has been on Earl's show a number of times. We've met him back when we had the place on Brady Street. I think this is good. It gives long-term funding stability to Milwaukee Public Schools. But Dale Coingo, who we've also had on the show a number of times, Tom, I'm not clear why MMAC would take this oppositional position to properly funding the Milwaukee Public Schools. Doesn't seem like a good position. Doesn't seem like a very popular position,
but raising property taxes, man, right? Isn't that the whole thing?
Tax cuts, more tax cuts. I'm not clear. I'm not clear what the business interest is in opposing Milwaukee Public Schools.
Lower property taxes. That's the business interest. Very short-sighted. It's all about the next quarter, the next year.
It's all about the next segment. I hope you stick around for it. 844-967-2789. Your calls could be next.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. Any thoughts on the results of the Wisconsin election yesterday? Want to hear your thoughts. I have some thoughts, Curdy.
Real quick, can
lies,
I make an Sam acknowledgement?
And statistics. Sure, John, you may interrupt me to say something.
John Pope, a friend of the show, I've been meaning to say this. Going in for heart surgery on Monday, wishing him warmest regards, thoughts and prayers, but hopefully you'll be tuning into the show by the end of the happy hour that day. So anyways, John had reached out. I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Good luck, John. We're all pulling for you. Wisconsin election results. Total votes for Republicans: Donald Trump, 475,000+, Nikki Haley, 76,000, DeSantis, 20,000, uninstructed, just under 13, Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy. Total of those Republican votes came to 599,907 votes, just under 600,000 votes. On the Democratic side, a little bit less of the total population here. We got 510,450 for Biden. 48,000 and change for uninstructed, and Dean Phillips got 17,681 for a total of 576,299. So of all the Democrats that went out and voted and all the Republicans that went out and voted, more Republicans got out and voted. 23,608 more Republicans voted yesterday, according to the AP results, than Democrats. What's your statistical analysis of that?
120,000 of them chose not to vote for the top of the ticket, Donald Trump. That's an enormous number. What do you say, about 600,000? So nearly 25% of all Republican voters, more than 20%, bled off support from Donald Trump. And I, again, would compare the raw vote totals. What was the enthusiasm for Joe Biden? 510,450 votes. What was the enthusiasm for Donald Trump? 475,375 votes. Why would I have to factor in other Republicans up and down the ticket?
Because the question is, what happens to those other voters? Number one, more Republicans voted than Democrats yesterday, period.
How many, many of those Nikki Haley?
If I may, I know you like to interrupt when I'm talking. Let me say this. Of those Nikki Haley, of those other votes, Crudy, Ron DeSantis, where are they going? Chris Christie, you think they're coming to Joe Biden or do you think they're going to stay Republican? I know you're thinking on the Democratic side, the uninstructed, well, they'll go to Biden. But there's a big question there, man. And there's a bigger variable, certainly on the Republican side, but there are also 23,000 more Republican voters to spread around.
How many Democrats do you think crossed over, as I suggested I had considered doing, and voted for Nikki Haley? Of the 76,000, do you think they were all Republicans? Or do you think some were trying to show disdain for Donald Trump in their own way, shape, or form? It didn't really matter if they cast across ballot. And by the same logic, Dom, I'll say, what if Republicans are out there voting uninstructed for Joe Biden? I don't think that that's quite as appealing. You know, to put a different candidate ahead of Donald Trump has more appeal. To vote for someone as opposed to voting for none of the above and crossing over to vote for none of the above? I don't think of the 1,000 uninstructed Republican voters, those are conscientious objectors. Of the 76,000 plus Nikki Haley voters, some of those are Democrats, Dom. I'm just telling you, because I almost was one of them.
Okay.
844-967-2789. James from Chicago. Welcome, James. What do you got for us?
Hey, James.
Thanks for taking my call. I want you guys just to think about something. Donald Trump's trial is going to begin on April the 15th.
Yes, sir.
And I'm thinking about when they pick the jury trial, everything is set to go. Now, here's what I think is going to happen. I could be wrong. Donald Trump going to say is that I can't go on with my trial because all my lawyers have left me.
Public defender, so sir.
So what do the court do then?
It's an interesting call. You know, if there was a defendant who lost legal counsel, you know, the week of trial, they would probably create some brief extension and allow them to seek out other counsel. But James, I don't think that's going to get him out of the trial. Short of Juan Merchan somehow finding conscience because of accusations that his daughter's advocating against Trump is somehow twisting him. Unless the judge steps aside, this thing's going to trial on April 15th, sir.
Okay. That was my question. So I hope that you're right. So, cause knowing Donald Trump, he'll throw a monkey wrench in any situation.
Yes.
So,
that's a great point, James. Thank you for bringing it up.
63% of the time we're right every time, James.
I would put it past him because he's getting more desperate as time rolls on. 844-967-2789. Cassandra from Middleton, you are next. Welcome, Cassandra. What do you got for us?
How you been? Cassandra?
Hello, Cassandra. Hi. You're on the air.
You're on the air.
There we go. Hey, welcome.
Hi. Well, thanks for taking my call. And you know what, Crudy? I am going to side with Don here. Because I am one of those uninstructed voters from yesterday. I could not pull the lever for Biden. And so I checked the box for write-in or uninstructed or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
And there are two reasons why I am hesitant to vote for Joe Biden. Number one is the immigration issue. I was born and raised in Chicago. I have family and friends in Chicago. And the immigration problem, the Democrats are underestimating the migrant issue, especially in underserved communities, because those communities have been lacking resources for decades. And so I would like to see the Biden administration, you know, control the border. I'm pro-immigration, but this open border policy, not very
come on,
people.
Cassandra. Open borders is a Republican talking point.
You have to go into the cities where those communities are impacted, and it is really hurting them, and the migrants are commandeering a lot of money that really need to go to American citizens.
Cassandra, I have no doubt that the migrant population has reached certainly the state of Wisconsin. I know it. I was at the press conference in Whitewater, Wisconsin, with Ron Johnson and Brian Steil in law enforcement. And I saw Donald Trump from the stage in Green Bay yesterday. He's calling it a bloodbath, right? And he's talking about how the law enforcement's overwhelmed in Whitewater, Wisconsin. I know specifically, I was there when this whole issue came to light. But ultimately, Cassandra, you know, their greatest issues with these new Latino immigrants is translation issues. It's translation issues. These are resourceable problems. And you know, I think with some cooperation, there was no vast crime. The only crime is they don't have a legal immigration status here in so many of these cases. I'm not saying there's not one-off random occurrences of violence, but think about the domestic violence we got right here in the good old United States. Senate Minority Leader, my Senator, Dianne Hesselbein, comes in studio next. Stick around. I know you will.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day edition, the Hangover edition, electoral and opening day and otherwise. Dom, we've got a fine guest. She's joined me here in the WMDX studios in Madison. She's my senator, the Senate Minority Leader, Dianne Hesselbein. Dan, welcome to the Civic Media Studios. I guess you've never been here.
I've never been here. It's pretty fancy. Ooh, I like the microphone. This is an interesting. Welcome, Dan. Back on the, yeah, this is great.
We don't let Dom in the big studio. We've got him behind a bar in Milwaukee. He's in a bunker.
I like
secret
it.
Bunker location. But
I like it.
Don't tell anybody.
Welcome. You said you were very excited, Dianne, about the electoral outcomes in Milwaukee. You talked about Evan Goyke. He's the new city attorney, but you serve with Evan.
Evan is fantastic. He's one of my really good friends. We both got elected to the state assembly together in 2012. So he and I have been friends forever. And he's just great. So I'm super excited for him and this opportunity. Milwaukee's in good hands. I was also excited about the referendum that passed in Milwaukee for those students and teachers. What a great difference that's going to make for people.
What do you think about MMAC, Milwaukee, Metro Milwaukee, you know, chamber basically opposing this and putting $400,000? I saw Dale Kuwinga described as one of the biggest losers in Dan Bice's article today. Why would Commerce want to?
I have no idea. That doesn't
go
make
against
any sense to
funding what, the schools.
What other chamber would do that to say don't fund the schools, especially when they know that, you know, the market's so good for housing right now, and the only reason a lot of people run and move to different areas is because of the great schools. Why would you want to hurt your public school system? I have no idea. That doesn't make any sense to me. The other election I want to say I was excited for was my other good friend, Representative Mercedes Cabrera, becoming a judge. I'm excited that both Lena Taylor and Marissa Bell Cabrera are judges in Milwaukee, and I think that's going to be great. I think of all the young people that are going to be able to see them in the courtroom and realize they can do this too. I just think it's wonderful for diversifying that, and I know they'll make wonderful decisions on the bench.
Now, we've got President Joe Biden coming to Madison.
On Monday.
I'm not sure of all the details. I hope to attend. But, you know, when the president comes to our backyard here, it's kind of a big deal. What What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm excited. I don't know exactly. They didn't tell me yet either what he's going to be doing on in Madison. But I was excited when Kamala Harris was here a few weeks ago. I actually got to meet her for the first time.
Very intense.
Very, yeah, inspiring. And she's a lovely woman and just wonderful. I couldn't say enough how warm she was and accessible. And we talked for a little while and it was wonderful. Yeah.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I've got my senator, Minority Leader of the State Senate of the great state of Wisconsin. She is Diane Hesselbein. But Diane, I want to talk about perhaps what's to come in the future. You've been serving in the Assembly and now in the Senate for a long time in the minority.
Yes.
And it kind of sucks because, you know, when you're in the minority and it's almost like a super minority here in the state of Wisconsin because of the very partisan gerrymandered maps. Melissa, it's hard to even get excited about propositions from the Democrats because so often they get buried in committee. They don't come out to the floor. They don't get voted on. Republicans don't want to see any successes and very little governance. So make me optimistic. Tell me how great it's going to be next year.
It's going to be fantastic. I am so excited for fair maps for the state of Wisconsin. We have been waiting, as you said, for years. I was first elected to the state assembly in 2012, and we have just been under this extremely gerrymandered map for a decade. So what does this mean? We have great candidates that are going to be running Senate candidates all over the state of Wisconsin, and we really have a shot at winning these races because not only are they fantastic enthusiasm for their candidacy, but they're running against Republicans who have a terrible voting record. And that is something we're going to be hammering again.
Better candidates, better ideas, they tell us, though.
That's what they say.
Who says?
Mostly
Robin Voss.
Oh, well, he says a lot of things, doesn't he?
Consider the source.
Well, he says they've had better candidates. On a, you know, and I've said to him privately and on the floor, I'm like, when I was in the state assembly, I'm like, okay, let's have a fair map and we'll see who has the better candidate. And he'd never take me up on that.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Wisconsin State Senator, Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein, joining Crudy in the Civic Media Studios in Madison. Diane, pleasure to speak with you. Briefly, regarding the MPS referendum here in Milwaukee and the chamber coming out against it. I mean, it's raising taxes like quite a bit, like $115 per 100,000. That's a big chunk of money. And that's the only reason I can think they'd be against it. But what do we do here? I mean, I just moved to the city of Milwaukee.
Oh, good for you.
I just voted to raise my taxes because apparently our state house can't get their ducks in a row. Diane, what's the permanent solution to this? We have to go back and do this again in 5 years or 10 years?
No.
How do you see this being resolved?
Well, first of all, the state of Wisconsin used to have a history of funding our public schools. And unfortunately, we have slipped in that duty. So that's one thing we have to do. And if the Democrats were in charge, it's something we would do. I know Governor Evers proposes that in his budget every single year. And the Republicans soundly, you know, object to that every single time. And it's unfortunate. It's a shame because we have the money to do things with our priorities like fund public education, K-12, and their colleges and universities. But the Republicans say every single time they don't want to do that. So what happens is we go to referendum and thank you for voting to raise your taxes, right? Because our students deserve better, our kids deserve better, and but it's not sustainable going forward. So my hope is that the Democrats take charge and we can spend money in a better way.
What about the shared revenue? There's not a lot of bipartisan governance that happens in this state, but Senator, shared revenue passed. And I want to get your opinion, you know, with 2020 hindsight. I know it's not fully enacted. It hasn't solved all the problems in the world. But what about the shared revenue? That's got to be a step in the right direction.
That is something, shared revenue is something we've been talking about since I first got elected, as I mentioned, in 2012. Towns, cities, villages have all talked about their roads being in disrepair. They needed more money. The state was holding on to too much. They needed more shared revenue. Definitely, I was so glad to see Republicans finally come to the table with something that I think works. However, I couldn't vote for it because of the terrible provisions that Robin Voss insisted being in there, with the poison pills of really hurting diversity, equity, inclusion in the city of Milwaukee. That was just awful. It was political. It didn't need to be there. We tried to remove all of that. However, we couldn't. With that being said, there were Democrats that did vote for shared revenue, and the governor did sign it into law. So I think it ended up being a good thing for our towns and our villages, but I felt sorry for what happened for diversity, equity, inclusion, and how the Republicans keep attacking that over and over again.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. My senator, Melissa, Diane.
You know what? It happens all the time. I'm going to tell you a funny story, and I'll do it.
You
all,
and Melissa Agard. I'm yeah, sorry.
No. Don't worry. It happens all the time. I've known Melissa since high school, and so this is not a bad thing. I think Melissa's great. But I will say one time, the Republicans in the Capitol, I was walking down the hallway, and one of them said to me, "Hi, Sheila." And I was like, no, wait a minute. I understand that people might think that I could be Melissa Agard, but it's a real big stretch to say that I look like Sheila Stubbs. And I like Sheila too. But I was just I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. So don't worry. I also get called Jill Billings, Katrina Shanklin. It's women with brown hair. It's fine.
But you're my senator, Diane. I'm sorry.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is knock on his door. I'll knock on your door soon. And I'll be like, hi, it's Diane. La, 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 la. Vote for me. And then you'll remember.
Yes. Diane Hesselbein, the Senate Minority Leader. I'll try to do better at remembering.
No worries.
Normally, Dom's the one with the faulty memory. Yeah. I should have made a note to myself. That's had true. My rundown in front of me. Diane, again, the part of the opposition, I suspect, and Dale Cahuenga also has a history of opposing the Milwaukee public schools being run by Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And really, what I would say is school choice seemingly is the unwritten part of the opposition. Republicans in this partisan gerrymander, we've got this uncapped mandate for a secondary school system that we, the taxpayers, are currently paying for.
Absolutely.
And this is blowing the budget, and it gets talked about very little. And I know that the governor came from an educational side, and he doesn't want to throw all these choice kids out on the street. I'm not suggesting that. But that's still an unresolved issue, because with these legislative majorities, these Republicans have certainly ratcheted up the budget for school choice, have they not?
Absolutely, they have. They continue to give money to these unaccountable private schools that are taking public money. And it's a shame, because we're really robbing the kids that go to public schools.
Yeah, I'm not real fond of using our tax dollars instead of going to public schools to subsidizing, indoctrinating religious education, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. The constitutional amendments, Diane Hesselbein, they passed. I voted against them. I thought it was a terrible idea. One with regarding to use of private funds to administer elections, and the other, you know, specifically defining what an election worker may or may not be. I wanted to get your sense on this. Of course, my concern on this is that if our government decides, and if your Republicans are in charge, decide not to, I don't know, properly fund elections, what do we do? Stand in line for 6 hours? I just wonder, if this is how it's going to be now, then how do we mandate that the government, our government, under, you know, self-governance, self-representation, actually fund elections properly?
Well, that's the exact question that I have as well. I voted no as well, and I was sorry to see them pass. I do worry about elections and how they're going to be funded. And I saw over the weekend that some people were doing interviews saying, oh, yeah, we should have that conversation. Well, we've been trying to have that conversation. The Democrats have been trying to force that conversation for years. And unfortunately, Republicans haven't been listening and haven't wanted to have that conversation. So we're going to continue to talk about it and how we can continue to make sure that our elections are fair, safe, and secure.
Senator, do you find it ironic at all that groups like, you know, Will and the McIver Institute funded the opposition or basically funded the referendum, funded the support for the referendum that would block outside monies coming into elections?
Yes.
I mean, exactly. I guess a little irony there.
There is. Diane. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Diane, don't call her Melissa Hesselbein. She is my senator, and I'll get her name right forevermore. I apologize.
No. Don't worry about it.
We are looking forward. Again, I'm looking forward. I want to be optimistic. This battle, what is the role of the minority leader to help lead the charge to help recruit candidates? Because every assembly race matters now, mm-hmm. or at least most of them. We'll still have a few gerrymandered, cracked impact districts, and half the Senate races. I mean, I don't know if it's feasible to win the Senate majority for the Democrats, but it's got to be something closer to a coin toss so we can actually perhaps go forward with governance in the next budget cycle. Things like that. I'd like to see that happen. I don't like to see the dominating numbers on the Joint Finance Committee. Mm-hmm. They don't reflect Wisconsin values. They don't even reflect Republican values. I'm not sure who they're there to serve, Diane.
I agree. So I think it's important for people to know, for you to know, and for your listeners to know that the biggest job in the minority is to get out of it and to get to the majority. And that's what we're going to be doing, right? And so, like I said, we have people running all over the state. They're excited. They're enthusiastic. We have Jamie Wall in Green Bay. First week, he raised $100,000 after he announced. People are super excited. He actually ran in 2012 against Reid Ribble for Congress, lost, but did really well, really well liked. He grew up in Green Bay, went outside of the state, I think, to get his education, came back because he loves the area. So that's one of those people that he's lived there for years.
Will that be running for the current André Jacques seat? Because Jacques is going to run for the Congress.
Yes, it'd be for the 30th, so I'm not sure which number that is. But yeah, André's running for Congress along with a whole bunch of other people.
They moved the numerical map on us, did they not?
They sure did, and I've been in it for a long time, and I looked at the different maps, and I felt like I had an idea about what one map was, and then now this map, so I have to switch my entire thinking of all the maps.
Now, you were one of the plaintiffs in this lawsuit that helped force this change.
Mm-hmm.
And Diane, you were willing to be a sacrificial lamb. You just won election 2 years ago. You could have been theoretically back on the ballot this November.
I wish I was. I love running. And that way, I'd be knocking on your door and you'd remember my name. no, seriously. I love running. I love presenting to the people like why they should vote for me, why I think my idea is resonant, listening to what people want. I love elections. And so it was my hope that every state senator would be up this year and we could truly have fair maps for the state of Wisconsin for every single corner.
And the districts locally. Has your district changed at all?
It has, yeah. So I'll no longer be having, I used to have everything from New Glarus to Baraboo and everything in between. I lose those areas, which I'm sad about, but I gain a lot of Madison. So the current three state representatives in my district are Mike Baer, Alex Jors, and Dave Considine. I lose that Considine area, and I get Lisa Subek, so I'll have more Madison. It'll be and more compact.
Did I hear Dave Considine is going to retire after this?
He is. Representative Considine's retiring. And oh, he's just a great guy. He's represented that area so well. He's so fun.
Well, we've had him on the show a few times as well. I guess your assembly colleagues will be recruiting over there. Maybe Greta's job.
Exactly. Yeah.
Come back with us. She is my senator, Diane Hesselbein from Middleton. Now I'm going to look at my notes.
Don't worry about it.
At least I haven't butchered your name. Well, I guess I did.
No, it's
come back, more Devils Advocates. Will have some fun with the Senate Minority Leader, but not the Minority Leader for long, we hope, Diane Hesselbein.
Big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates radio show. Wisconsin State Senator Diane Hesselbein, the state minority leader, joining us on the radio. Thank you, Diane. Thanks for sticking on for another segment. We had an election yesterday. I want to get your sense. How are you feeling about it? The turnout was something that we were talking about earlier today. Seemingly, more folks than I thought would actually come out. What does this say, do you think, about the motivation? And number two, state of Florida, Supreme Court just allowed a six-week abortion ban to stand. Obviously, state of Wisconsin, we don't have it quite like that, but how big of an issue will abortion be, in your mind, on this election cycle?
I think it's going to be one of the biggest pressing issues we're going to be having, to be honest. I think women are angry. I think people are frustrated. They don't want politicians making personal decisions, and I don't think we should be either. I think those decisions are between a person and their doctor, certainly not me or Robin Voss or Devin Lemieux or any of the Republicans in the state legislature. We have no business doing any of that. So I think women are angry. I think they're frustrated, and I think they're going to be voting for choice.
Now, Florida has a referendum. Not only did the Florida Supreme Court say you can install what DeSantis signed, but they also said we're going to go forward and let the voters of Florida decide. And I've heard that that action may specifically bring more resources to Florida because suddenly the Democrats think Florida might be in play if the issue of abortion is literally on the ballot. Now, I've heard everyone from Ron Johnson to senatorial candidate Republican Eric Huckabee say, well, we should have an abortion referendum. Of course, they'd like to frame how that's going to be on the ballot. But could you see an abortion referendum in the state of Wisconsin? Is this a choice question?
I don't think I think Republicans would be afraid to have that on the referendum for the state of Wisconsin. I don't think they're going to do it.
So it sounds good in theory, but the actual practice thereof.
I just don't say that they're not going to put it on. There's no way.
Now, Protasewicz obviously won double-digit victory and perhaps unexpectedly. That was a smaller, that wasn't a presidential, that was a spring election. But what does it forecast? Tell me it's something good.
That people are going to come out? Yes. I mean, when you look at how voting trends are going, especially around those suburbs in Milwaukee, they're trending our way. It's those, the women, it's the people there. They don't want the Republicans telling what to do with their bodies, and they are voting that way.
So give us something to vote for. What would be the Democratic agenda when we retake the electoral majority in the legislature, hopefully sooner than later? Give us something to live for.
So there's a lot of things that, you know, we want to do. And some of them, you know, speak to different people, right? So, yes, I will say choice. Reproductive choice is going to be huge. I would say childcare. That's huge. Actually funding K-12 schools, colleges, and universities.
If you want to speak to Dom, you better speak to marijuana policy.
So. I was going to say marijuana policy, definitely. I was very disappointed. I thought we'd at least get medical done this year. It was like number one on the ALEC agenda for the Republican Party, and they didn't get it done. And I think that's why Robin Voss put the most restrictive medical marijuana bill out, but it wasn't, you know, we don't need the most restrictive, we need the most effective. So that would definitely be on that. Medicaid expansion, letting people have health care all over the state is extremely important. PFAS, my gosh, we have these forever chemicals. The governor had a great bill. We've been fighting for this to try to get these forever chemicals out of our waterways and also waste it so they don't get in there in the first place. So there's a lot of exciting things that we can be doing. If you look at Michigan, look at all the stuff that they've been doing. I get jealous. And those are the policies and what we'd be putting forth.
It's crazy when you have a legislative majority, what you can get done. Governance, I think it's called.
It's amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait. I know I was on a panel with Robin Voss a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, sometimes people find it early, you know, easy to vote no. I'm like, oh, give me a chance. Like, give me a chance to govern, and I got it. I know what I want to get done. We've got a long list.
You know, on those issues, Diane, you know, the messaging around them, you look specifically on the weed, and I'm down for the freedom to consume whatever, but there's a literal a tax consequence to it. I mean, I would estimate at least $250 million annually that we are missing out on because people just run over to Minnesota, or now Minnesota or Illinois, or to Michigan to get their legal cannabis, legal, regulated.
Absolutely. And it's safe.
I mean, people want to know what they got. I mean, I don't want bathtub gin. There's a reason why alcohol is regulated the way it is. And then we should do the same thing with the other intoxicants that people choose to engage in. Is it worth getting in the weeds on those kinds of things? I mean, you know what I mean? How do you convince people? No, actually not, but I'll take it. How do you convince people that this is something that should happen, if nothing else, on a budgetary standpoint? And of course, on the justice standpoint, too. I mean, if you can stop people from, you know, getting pulled over for, oh, it smells like weed in the car, you know, you get rid of some of the racist policing that can happen. How do you sell that? Once you get the majority.
I think the people in the state of Wisconsin are ready. I don't think you even have to sell it as much. I think people are absolutely ready. I think people know that's really an only issue for the Republicans in the state, sort of like Medicaid expansion. You know, we just look at them and go, why are we getting these things done? There's no reason.
Would you look to, Speaker Voss proposed an asinine medicinal marijuana policy set up, you know what, 6 dispensaries state run around the state. Do you look at Colorado? Do you look at Michigan and Illinois and see what they've done and try to duplicate that? Or is this something that we're going to try to do organically here in the state of Wisconsin?
I think Senator Melissa Agard has a great bill on that. I think she's been looking at those situations and those different bills for years and seeing what they've learned, you know, the way that it's gone in Colorado, things that they wish they've done. And she's talked to the authors of those bills to make sure that what we do in Wisconsin is Wisconsin, but also learning from other people's mistakes.
Well, I share my friend Dominic's affinity for the legalized cannabis. The most indefensible thing is the failure to expand the Medicaid. I mean, you talk about budgetary items.
Yeah, right.
This is ridiculous. No one can call themselves a fiscal conservative and fail to expand Medicaid. 36 states have done so. We're the only basically should be a blue state, but we act like a red state. What would this do for our budget?
Oh,
monetarily,
gosh. We would save money in the DHS. We would have billions of dollars. It would just be amazing to have that much money in our coffers and be able to spend it on things that we want to spend.
Diane, the closure, and I know I'm going left to right here, but the closure of two-year campuses, I don't see this as a good thing.
No.
I feel like we've under-resourced these two-year campuses. It cannot be good when students of Wisconsin lose opportunities. I got a senior going off to college this fall. It won't be to a two-year school because they don't barely exist anymore. Any final thoughts on that, Diane?
Oh, we need to be funding higher education because students should be able to pick what they want to do, not have it picked for them based on where they live and what they can afford.
Is there still time to preserve any of those campuses with a legislative majority?
Absolutely, yes. I think we can. I'm optimistic. I honestly think that if the Democrats were in charge, we can do a lot of things because we would be funding them appropriately and not giving money to the extreme wealthy.
Dan Hasselbein, welcome to our house. Welcome to the Civic Media Studios. We'll have you back someday, real, real soon.
Thank you so much.
Senate Minority Leader, my Senator, Dianne Hasselbein, thanks a lot for coming around.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
Folks, a happier happy hour. Your phone calls, they could be next. 844-967-2789.
My house.